Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Jai Dukkan Founder Acharya Shubha Upadha Ki Jai Namacharya Shubha Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sagaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Radha Gadara Rashi Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kundara Radha Gandhi Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Samarit Dham Ki Jai Sri Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Sri Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Tulasi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Ganga Maya ki jai, Jamuna Maya ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Parinama Sankirtan ki jai, Shri Shri Brihat Madanga ki jai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution ki jai, Shri Shri Gaurnitai ki jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Radha Govardhan Dari ki jai, Shri Shri Govardhan Tham ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. A reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, 5th Canto, 18th chapter, 23rd text. Is that right? 23rd text. Sa tvam tamapi achyuta sirishni vanditam rambujam yat haddadhai Sattvatam Ivashi Mam Lakshma Varenya Mayaya Ka Ishvarayetam Uhitum Vibur Iti Svatam Mamapyachuta Shishni Vanditam. Satvam amapyachyuta shishni vanditam karambujam yatvadadhai satvatam karambujam yatvadadhai satvatam ibhashimam lakshma varenyamayaya Varshimam Lakshma Varinya Mayaya Ta Ishvara Yehitam Ihitum Viburiti Ta Ishvara Yehitam Ihitum Viburiti Satam amapyachyuta shishni vanditam Karambujam yatva dadai satvatam Ibarshimam lakshma varenya mayaya Ka ishvaras yehitam uhitim viburiti Ishvaras yehitam uhitum viburiti Word for words. Saha that tam you mama of me api also achyuta O infallible one sirishni on the head Vanditam, worshipped. Karambujam, your lotus hand. Yat, which? Trap, by you. Adhai, placed. Satvatam, on the head of the devotees. Vibharashi, you maintain. Mam, me. Lakshma, as an insignia on your chest. Varenya, a worshipable one. Mayaya, with deceit. Ka,
Who? Ishwarasya, of the supremely powerful controller. Ihitam, the desires. Uhitam, to understand by reason and argument. Vibhu, is able. Iti, thus. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O infallible one, your lotus palm is the source of all benediction. Therefore, your pure devotees worship it, and you very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish that you may also place your hand on my head, for although you already bear my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I regard this honor as merely a kind of false prestige for me. You show your real mercy to your devotees, not to me. Of course, you are the supreme absolute controller, and no one can control your motives. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In many places, the Shastras describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead as being more inclined toward his devotees than toward his wife, who always remains on his chest. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.15, it is stated, Natata me priyatama atmayo nir na shankara cha sankarshano na shir naivatma cha yata bhavan. Here Krishna plainly says that his devotees are more dear to him than Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarshan, the original cause of creation, the goddess of fortune, or even his own self. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.20, Shukadeva Goswami says, Nemam virincho nabhavo nashir apyanga sangshaya prasadam lebhire gopi yatta prapa vimuktita. The Supreme Lord, who can award liberation to anyone, showed more mercy toward the gopis than to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or even the goddess of fortune, who is his own wife and is associated with his body. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.60 also states, Nayam Srinungayu Nitantarate Prasada Svaryoshitam Nalinagandarucham Kutonya Rasotsavesya Bujadandagrihita Kanta Lavdashishamya Udagat Rajasundarinam. The gopis received benedictions from their Lord that neither Lakshmi Devi nor the most beautiful dancers in the heavenly planets could attain. The Rasa dance. In the Rasa dance, the Lord showed his favor to the most fortunate gopis by placing his arms on their shoulders and dancing with each of them individually. No one can compare with the gopis who received the causeless mercy of the Lord. In the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, it is said that no one can receive the real favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without following in the footsteps of the gopis. Even the goddess of fortune could not receive the same favor as the gopis, although she underwent severe austerities and penances for many years. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discusses this point with Venkata Bhatta in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, 9th chapter, verses 111 to 131. The Lord inquired from Venkata Bhatta, Your worshipful goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always remains on the chest of Narayan, and she is certainly the most chaste woman in the creation. However, my Lord is Lord Sri Krishna, a cowherd boy engaged in tending cows. Why is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my Lord? Just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha and for a long time accepted vows and regulative principles and performed unlimited austerities. Venkata Bhatta replied, Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan are one and the same, but the pastimes of Krishna are more relishable due to their sportive nature. They are very pleasing for Krishna's Shaktis. Since Krishna and Narayan are both the same personality, Lakshmi's association with Krishna did not break her vow of chastity. Rather, it was in great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. The goddess of fortune considered that her vow of chastity would not be damaged by her relationship with Krishna. Rather, by associating with Krishna, she could enjoy the benefit of the rasa dance. If she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna, what fault is there? Why are you joking so about this? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I know that there is no fault in the goddess of fortune, but still she could not enter into the rasa dance. We hear this from revealed scriptures. The authorities of Vedic knowledge met Lord Ramchandra at Dandakaranya, and by their penances and austerities, they were allowed to enter into the rasa dance. But can you tell me why the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, could not get that opportunity? To this, Venkatabhata replied, I cannot enter into the mystery of this incident. I am an ordinary living being. My intelligence is limited, and I am always disturbed. How can I understand the pastimes of the Supreme Lord? They are deeper than millions of oceans. Lord Chaitanya replied, Lord Krishna has a specific characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. By following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Rajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, the inhabitants of that planet do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unaware that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the residents of Vrindavan, like Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, and the gopis, treat Krishna as their beloved son or lover. Mother Yashoda accepts him as her son and sometimes binds him to a grinding mortar. Krishna's cowherd boyfriends think he is an ordinary boy and get up on his shoulders. In Goloka Vrindavan, no one has any desire other than to love Krishna. The conclusion is that one cannot associate with Krishna unless he has fully received the favor of the inhabitants of Rajabhumi. Therefore, if one wants to be delivered by Krishna directly, he must take to the service of the residents of Vrindavan, who are unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Om Agyanati Vinandasya Ganananjana Salakaya Chaksurin Militam Jena Tasma Ishi Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitana Manovisnam Stapidam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. There's a passage in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Nrisimhadev is appearing to Prahlad Maharaj, and he's very pleased with him. Very pleased because he's a great and pure devotee of the Lord. So after the battle with Hiranyakashipu, he benedicts Prahlad Maharaj by putting his lotus hand on his head. Prabhupada has commented on this verse that to get the lotus hand of the Lord on one's head is not an ordinary thing. And it's stated here that your lotus palm is the source of all benediction. Therefore, devotees worship it. So we see there are many mudras of Lord Ram and other devotees, other forms of Vishnu, where he's making this gesture, this mudra, because this is worshipped actually. Radharani also gives this mudra more commonly, and it means, according to what Prabhupada said, that everything is all right. Sometimes we hear people say that everything is all right in the material world, but we know that's not true, because nothing can actually be all right. We have to die, we have to have birth, death, disease, and old age. We have the threefold miseries. And everything is temporary. For a devotee, however, we were discussing this the other day, one feels protected by the Supreme Lord, even though he's not present in this one of these incarnation forms. Tasmade kena manasa bhagavan satvatam pati shrotavya kirtitavyasya yeha pujascha nityada. In Srimad Bhagavatam it says that we should constantly worship, glorify, remember, and speak about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satvatam pati, he is. So to get the blessing of the lotus palm of Krishna, especially on one's head, is reserved for only those who are very, very advanced. And it's also mentioned here, the gopis, they also get Krishna's arm on their shoulders. So these benedictions are not given out indiscriminately or easily. Krishna is equal to everyone, he says, but to one who is very dear to me, I am also very dear to him. And he says here that his devotees are more dear to him than his very self. And In this verse, Prabhupada's making, in the purport, some distinctions between the Sri Sampradaya, who worship Lakshmi as their source, and those who are devotees who worship Krishna directly. Now, in the verse where the Lord puts his palm, Lord Nrsimhadeva puts his palm on the head of Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada spoke in one lecture extensively how this is an extraordinary thing to get this kind of blessing. And Prahlad personifies the mellow of remembering Krishna, Smarana. There are nine types of devotional service, beginning with Shravana Kirtana. And Smarana is the one which Prahlad Maharaj exemplifies, because he never forgot Krishna. And even when Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill him in so many grotesque manners, his mind never deviated for a second. And therefore, he is described as having perfect concentration. And to obtain this concentration perfectly, Prabhupada said in a lecture, it may take millions of lifetimes or millions of years. But that is the perfection of remembrance. A pure devotee, whether he's in a dangerous condition or in a very positive condition or in a very safe, apparently safe position, he never forgets Krishna. It's always, sometimes devotees find themselves in awkward conditions, and sometimes they find themselves in very affluent conditions or very auspicious conditions, but they are not attached. Narayanak parak sarve naku tasjana bibhiti sarva pravarga narakeshva pitul yata darshina. When Chitraketu was joking with Lord Shiva about the fact that he had his arm around his consort in his airplane, Parvati took this as an insult and she cursed him. So even though he was powerful enough to counter curse and even get out of the curse, he took it as a blessing that Krishna was putting him in this awkward position to advance in Krishna consciousness. So there it's said in that famous verse, Narayanak Parak Sarve, that a devotee of the Lord does not care what kind of condition he's in. He can be in the heavenly planets, he can be in the hellish planets, he can be liberated, but it's all the same to him. He feels equally blissful. So the tendency in this material world is to become very affected. If we have reverses, then there's immediately the mind, the equilibrium becomes disturbed. The mind's equilibrium becomes disturbed, and we start thinking how to get out of the situation. And on the other hand, when there is auspiciousness, good fortune, then one becomes very attached to that, that everything is going very well, and mind becomes temporarily peaceful. One becomes attached in a more subtle way. The mind of the materialist is to be very, start thinking a little about maybe there's some transcendental when there's difficulty. Another way that the materialist thinks is there's good luck or good fortune, and I have done this all myself. I have gained all this myself. And when there's a reverse, the tendency is to blame God. Why has God done this to me? Or if one's a little bit fortunate, one can begin to think that maybe there is God, and sometimes they start praying. They say there are no atheists in the foxholes. So sometimes people who are very atheistic, when they're in big trouble, their plane is going to crash, or they're in a war, they start praying very sincerely to God, who they may never have believed in. So Prabhupada's had this long conversation with Venkata Bhatta, and he was kind of joking with him because, of course, his sampradaya is also accepted. But he was making the distinction between worshipping Krishna in this reverential way and worshipping Krishna in the manner of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, which is in a very intimate fashion. And this is one of the things that Lord Chaitanya established in his preaching, that the highest form of meditation for a devotee is to worship the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, in their conjugal relationship, and to enter into that relationship. So at the end, Prabhupada is stating that one has to follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. It's also explained in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, and it's known by the Vaishnavas of Raj, that if one wishes to get the favor of Radha and Krishna, or Radharani, then one has to worship the six Goswamis. Now everybody in Raj is trying to get the mercy of Radharani, especially in Kartik. Many pilgrims come, thousands, they say hundreds of thousands of people come, some as far away as from Gujarat or in the south, because the Kartik time, it's known that is the time when Radharani dispenses her mercy unconditionally or without any hesitation, just profusely gives out the mercy. So everybody is chanting Radhe, 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 Radhe. In fact, almost all the graffiti in Vrindavan is Radha, 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 Radha. You'll see it everywhere, written in Devanagari. We saw a sign painter. We caught one of them in action once. And they not only paint it, but they revisit all these walls that they've painted on and then repaint them. And sometimes they make a little outline over them. They'll go around the outside of the letter so everybody can see it more clearly. And they just carry a little bucket of paint. They're usually just wearing a little simple loincloth or a what do they call them, lungis. And sometimes matted hair, and they just go around and they paint everywhere. Nobody cares, and there's no other graffiti in Vrindavan. So it's stated that in Vrindavan, everything is identical with Krishna. One doesn't actually see or understand the real Vrindavan initially from the materialistic point of view. We just see a village and some poor people and lots of animals walking about. But actually in Vrindavan, everything, it is stated, is as worshipful as good as Krishna. And that is the graffiti, the trees, the walls, the roads, the buildings, the animals, the people, the shrines, the remnants of the temples, the Jamuna, the breezes, the cuckoos, the parrots. Everything is transcendental. In the material world, the constituents are Bhumirapo, Nalovayu, Kammano, Budhir. Everything is earth, fire, water, air, ether. But in the spiritual world, the constituents are Satchitananda. Everything is conscious. Everything is made out of knowledge and bliss and eternity. And everything is conscious. Sometimes it is known as Chintamani Dham, because everything is conscious. The trees are conscious. The rivers are conscious. And there's the characteristic of the living entities in Vrindavan, that there is no envy. In the material world, everything is based on this idea of envy. If I see something wonderful happening to someone else, then the mind thinks, I want to do that, or I want to take away their glory. And in the spiritual world, everybody is glorifying everybody else. Prabhupada gave the example once that in Vrindavan, for example, both the grass and the trees have important functions to perform. And they're both fully conscious, but they're not envious of one another. So the trees say to the grass, what a wonderful occupation you have, what a wonderful relationship you have with Krishna. You can provide Radha and Krishna wonderful soft paths to walk on and thereby caress their lotus feet constantly and get the mercy of their lotus feet on your heads. How fortunate you are and how wonderful your service is. And the grass says to the trees, how magnificent your service is. You constantly provide the most beautiful scenery for their lordships to gaze upon day after day. I'm very much appreciative of your service. So he was illustrating this point that in Vrindavan there is no high or low, as we know. The trees may seem very majestic and very great and grand, and the grass may be very insignificant and lowly, but actually they're both equally appreciating one another's service, and without any envy, but just out of appreciation. And it's also said Vishnu, Lord Vishnu's worship is the highest worship, and Lord Shiva was asked by Parvati once, what is the What is the highest form of worship? And Lord Shiva said that Vishnu worship is unquestionably the highest. But if you can worship the things that are connected with Vishnu, that's even higher. Aradananam sarvesham Vishnu aradanam param tasmad paratanam devi tadiyanam samarchanam. So these things connected with Krishna, tadiyanam, they are like Tulsi, they're like the land of Vrindavan and everything that exists in it. The devotees of Krishna, the books of Krishna, they're all equally worshipful. So it's said that one should try to be a servant, a maidservant, Gopi Bharatur Parakamala Manudasa, Nudasa, 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 of the gopis, of the manjaris, the servants of the gopis, and enter into that mood of just being a constant servant of Krishna, to please him in some way. Actually, to develop love for Krishna is a very dynamic process. We worship the deity in many ways. We offer him articles, we sing before him, we offer him nice food. We try to dress him very beautifully in more and more ways, and we try to carry out his mission, serving his desires. So the relationship is very dynamic. In the spiritual world, it is like that. So we're practicing, we're rehearsing, we might say, for our ultimate goal in the spiritual world, trying to please Krishna in different ways. So the gopis are always very active. And they're not just sitting there with Krishna, like Lakshmi appears to be, but they're constantly engaging in newer and more exciting forms. And they're constantly thinking, meditating, how to please him, how to get his blessing. Prabhupada refers here to the sages of Dandakaranya, who were so desirous to get that mercy of Krishna that they prayed that they could take birth as gopis. So, they were men, they wanted to become women to enjoy Krishna's most intimate pastimes. So whatever it takes to get Krishna's mercy is very necessary. To get Krishna's mercy, one can do nothing but surrender and pray that Krishna will give that mercy, because he gives it out according to his own desire, when and where he pleases. And he may or may not do it. But devotees are advised to surrender, and those ways of surrender include accepting everything which is favorable for the execution of Krishna consciousness, rejecting those things which are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, always feeling protected by Krishna, knowing that Krishna is the Supreme Master, being fully dependent on Krishna's mercy, and always carrying oneself as being very meek and humble. A devotee always waits for Krishna to bestow his mercy. He doesn't think that I can force Krishna to do anything. So whether Krishna puts me in a hellish condition or a heavenly condition, it is all the same. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed that I want to be born in the home of a devotee, even as an insect. If I can be in the home of a devotee, I'll be very satisfied. So the mercy of a devotee is all important. It's stated in the Bhagavatam and in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita that devotional service actually begins when one gets association with a devotee. And we know that that's been the case with all of us. There would be no devotional service, no relationship with Prabhupada, if we hadn't come in contact with a devotee, either through a book initially, which is coming into contact with Prabhupada, and then through that book coming into contact with a devotee. These devotees are called Vartma Pradarshika Gurus, or Pata Pradarshika Gurus. They're the ones who show us the path. And it is by their kindness that one can advance, that one has the opportunity. And it's a very rare thing that one can contact a devotee, someone who is, it is said, Mahajana Yena Gatasva Panta. There are many, that's a part of a verse from the Mahabharata. There are many different philosophies. And rishis propagating philosophies, but through the mind of a great devotee, one can advance in Krishna consciousness. So the devotee's importance can't be minimized.
is said that if we can associate with them even very briefly.
What is it? Sada sanga, sava shastra hoy. Lava matra, in even a very brief 11th of a second. Sada sanga, sava shastra hoy. One can attain all perfection of life if one associates with a devotee. Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, when he was at the house of Sarvabhuma, when Lord Chaitanya was at the house of Sarvabhuma, there's some description about how he was accommodating Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, when I was in my father's house, he wrote, there were never less than 2 to 4 guests every night. And he explained how he had such a nice exposure. He was explaining also how Kurma Brahman wanted to travel with Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya insisted, no, that you go back to your home and you just bring all your friends and relatives to your home whenever you can and chant kirtan with them, have prasadam. It's described in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita that through this process, the followers of Lord Chaitanya increased. They came to Kurma Brahman's house, and Prabhupada uses the word empowered. He said they were empowered to preach Krishna consciousness. So then they followed the same technique as Kurma Brahman, and they began to preach in their homes. In this way, he said, many thousands of people became empowered, and the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread in this way and enveloped millions and millions of people because they were empowered just by seeing Lord Chaitanya. And then just by associating with his followers, by seeing them, by being with them, they became empowered. That's the power of spiritual consciousness. One becomes empowered by the Lord, and then one can empower others, and then those can empower others, and so on. The empowerment comes from becoming purified in Krishna consciousness and by associating nicely with devotees. So it's said that one should make friends with devotees, very fast friends. And among devotees, one should discuss the pastimes of the Lord. Satam prasangam amavirya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana krita. Discussion about the pastimes and activities, about the personality of Godhead, are very pleasing to the ear and heart. Yad yoshanadashrapa vargavartmani shradha ratir bhaktir anukramishiti. By cultivation of such knowledge, one becomes advanced on the path of liberation, one becomes free, and then real devotion and devotional service begin. So it all begins with this sangha, or association. And Lord Kapila Dev states, Mahatam bahomana nadina namanu kampayam maitra chaivat matulyeshu yamena niyamena cha. That among the pure devotees, these discussions are very important because one develops fast friendships with devotees, one serves those who one considers more advanced than oneself, and one acts in a compassionate and loving way towards those who are beginning on the path of Krishna consciousness. These are some of the internal nectar pastimes of devotees that they associate internally in a very wonderful way. Actually, the whole Chaitanya Chaitamrita is based on this principle. One sees Lord Chaitanya associating, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his devotees in a very intimate fashion. He offers his obeisances, he touches their feet to his head, he embraces them, he cries, and develops very intimate relationships. And he also establishes how they will develop intimate relationships with one another. This is called sambandha. There are three phases in the Vedanta Sutra: sambandha, avideya, and prayojana. The first two of the four main sections of the Vedanta Sutra deal with sambandha. Sambandha means definition of relationship. Avideya means the action in the relationship, or the inner action. And prayojana means the culmination of the action of the relationship. In our case, this refers to understanding who I am, a spirit soul, as part and parcel of Krishna, as my definition of who I am. Acting in pure devotional service, which means engaging in the practice of sadhana bhakti and relating properly with the devotees of Krishna, avideya, action and reaction or interaction. And then prayojana is the attainment of pure love of God, the fruit of all the action of Krishna consciousness. So the sambandha, of course, is the beginning. It is very important. And in devotional service, sometimes even that initial step is very difficult to establish. What is the relationship between us and Krishna, or between ourselves? And in the material world, in some cultures, the relationship in communities or in families is very strong, and some it's not very strong. In Krishna's family, or Prabhupada's family, the relationships are meant to be very strong. We see some residual aspects of this in the Vedic culture in India, where people have very close family relationships. It was Prabhupada's desire that his disciples form very fast relationships, and therefore he said that he wanted the relationship between devotees to be just like it was when he was personally present. We always felt a great bond of friendship because Prabhupada was always there as the father. So he wanted that to continue. He wanted the relationships, sambandha, to be very close. So he used to say, your love for me will be tested by how well you cooperate after I am gone. The relationship between devotees is actually meant to be very, very close and intimate, more so even than one's own family members. When Prabhupada was lecturing in New York, he said, because when we were being initiated, it was a bit of a scary thing. We didn't know what it really meant. So Prabhupada said, this is a very important now, you're going to be initiated. Because we were thinking, well, he's a sannyasi. Of course, he was always very paternal, but he said, when I was having a dream once, before I was a sannyasi, that my godbrothers were asking me to take sannyas, I was horrified, he said. And I thought, well, what's going to become of my family? And then he said, then after some time, I became satisfied, and now I've come to your country, and I have hundreds and hundreds of children. I was worried about my own children back home in Calcutta, and now I have hundreds and hundreds of children. You are all my sons and daughters, and you're all treating me better, so much better, and taking care of me so much better than my own children back home were. So then he went on to say that my point is that anyone who becomes a devotee of Krishna, he's never the loser. It may appear like we're jettisoning some things in this material world to get Krishna, but actually we get so much more back from Krishna that it's really insignificant. And one of those things we get back is the association of Vaishnavas. We get the association of the best people in the world. But sometimes we may take this association for granted or get overwhelmed with the difficulties we experience sometimes being in a community with one another. But if we look around and see the world at large, we can understand we're still much, much better off. You go out on the streets of the world and people are very unhappy, very unhappy. And they're really simply trying to exploit one another. So this is the sambandha, and it's also manifest in our centennial program of uniting Prabhupada's family to understand the nature of that relationship. And of course, in the next phase, avideya, when we begin to serve Krishna in more and more intimate ways, then our relationships naturally improve because devotional service improves. So Prabhupada says that in the purport, the conclusion is that one cannot associate with Krishna unless he has fully received the favor of the inhabitants of Rajabhumi. Now, I was mentioning before that the Goswamis are considered inhabitants, and if one understands or enters into their pastimes, one can also get the mercy of the gopis and Radharani. So these Goswamis, they are more easy for us to understand because they lived more recently. And their goal was to study the Shastras, to visit all the holy places constantly, which they did, to fulfill the orders of Lord Chaitanya, and to carry out the role of a saintly person, which meant to be a person who gives shelter to other living beings. Therefore, they are described as being dear to all. And the other thing is, they gave up so much in the material world to live very simply. They gave up big, big positions. Some of them were millionaires by today's standards. And they gave it up to wander around, sleep under trees, and wear just loincloths. So Prabhupada said, we can't imitate them. We can't live on one glass of buttermilk every day and live under a different tree every night. But we can follow in their footsteps. And that means to give up our sense of false pride or false prestige, to give up those things which are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, to accept those things which are favorable for Krishna consciousness, and to follow in the footsteps of the past acharyas, of the previous acharyas. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were both instructed at length by Lord Chaitanya, especially Sanatana Goswami. So all of their voluminous writings were basically expansions on the information given to them, the teachings that Lord Chaitanya gave to them. He told Rupa Goswami, now I have given you these instructions, now you can expand on them. So he meditated and meditated, and he was able to write very profusely, very profoundly about the mercy of the Lord, and intimate details about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and its application in modern times. So these Goswamis, they might be considered Bhajanandis. They were writing, they were living in remote places, they were kind of aloof in a sense, but their writing became the future direction for the Krishna consciousness movement. Rupa Goswami taught us how to use everything in Krishna's service, anasaktasya vishayam yataha mupayunjitaha. And Sanatana Goswami's writings teach us so many of the things about the wonderful ecstasies about associating with Krishna. And it was by their hard work that they excavated so many wonderful holy places, tirthas and ponds and temples, shrines, and they established the trees where Lord Chaitanya sat and everything. So they were preparing. So again, they are residents of Vrindavan whose footsteps we can follow in. Because what were they doing? They were following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. They were establishing the way to exhume the past, and they were establishing the way forward. What to do in Vrindavan, where to go, how to associate with Krishna's devotees in Krishna's temples. So if one becomes very dependent to receive the mercy of the Lord, trying to get his lotus hand on his head by following the footsteps of the inhabitants of Rajabhumi, one will surely be successful. So I'll read the verse again. Svatam mamapyachuta shishni vanditam karambujam yatvad dhai satvatam ibarashi mam lakshma varenya mayaya Kaish varas ye hitam uhitum viburiti. O infallible one, your lotus palm is the source of all benediction. Therefore, your pure devotees worship it, and you very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish that you may also place your hand on my head, for although you already bear my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I regard this honor as merely a kind of false prestige for me. You show your real mercy to your devotees, not to me. Of course, you are the supreme absolute controller, and no one can understand your motives. So, any comments or questions? Actually, I was reading that Prabhupada mentioned this in his lecture. He said you cannot actually get the mercy of Radha and Krishna or the gopis without first getting the mercy of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. First we have to go through them, according to what Prabhupada said. This is also written in the lecture books. So following the footsteps means following the footsteps. We look at our devotees, Prabhupada and his disciples' succession, and try to follow in their footsteps. Because it is said, Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalam, Anudas, Anudas, means, Prabhupada said 100 times. So who are the servants of the gopis? They're the Goswamis and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Prabhupada. Of course, Prabhupada, he always traveled with deities, so we can understand it. Even though he says in his writings that that deity worship is very important, especially for neophytes, he never advised anyone to discontinue the process of deity worship, dressing the deities, worshiping very opulently, and making offerings to them throughout his whole time with us. And everywhere he went, he had deities, and they were worshipped in a very opulent fashion. And he stressed it always. In fact, the deity worship that Prabhupada established is unique in the world. When Madhavendra Puri established the Gopal deity on Govardhan Hill, he initiated some Brahmins, some local Vrajabhumi Brahmins. Prabhupada says, it's written there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, other places, that he's talked about it, but it's specifically written that he initiated them into Vaishnavism, even though they were Brahmins. He made them Vaishnavas, and then he says that they worship the deities very gorgeously. He established what he called very gorgeous deity worship. Prabhupada was very expert at picking up certain English words. And he really liked the word gorgeous. It's kind of unique. And he used that word to describe deity worship in ISKCON. And we see throughout the world, wherever you go, to Krishna temples, that the deities are worshipped in a super opulent fashion compared to any temple in India. Maybe it's one or two or three that might have a little bit of the opulence of some of our temples. But in Krishna conscious temples, there's no better way to say it than it's gorgeous. There's new dresses every day. There's incredible flowers and backdrops. And this was established by Madhavendra Puri, that the deity worship would be gorgeous. Prabhupada writes it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is a sign of devotion, when you can worship the deity in a very gorgeous way. So in one sense, as I was saying, it's a kind of a rehearsal. We have to offer what we have, and we have, especially in these Western countries, we have the capacity to make incredibly beautiful clothes and worship incredibly nice prasadam. And Lord Chaitanya also appreciated nice prasadam. It's not just like, you know, you get some of this sugar candy and you know, make a few preps and like that, but it's very special. There's a passage where Lord Chaitanya was taking prasadam in I forget whose house it was, one of the devotees' homes, and might have been Srinivasacharya's. And when the prasadam was served to him, he was so pleased with it that he said, whoever made this prasadam is so wonderful that I will take their feet on my head and clutch them very tightly and hold them on my head for the rest of my life. So the offerings of foodstuffs to these are also, they may be opulent, but they're also offerings of love. That. But when Prabhupada came to the West, he knew it was very opulent. And for that reason, he wanted to be sure that we used everything that we could very nicely in the service of the deity. And even in India, in all the temples there, the clothes, the backdrops, the offerings, and the altars themselves and everything on them are very opulent, very full, because this is an expression of love. And of course, as you are intimating, one's relationship with Krishna, one's original Siddha Prinala or Siddha Swarupa, is revealed to the devotee in time. Sometimes we used to press Prabhupada, well, you know, what were you? Are you a gopi? And Prabhupada would never give answers directly. Or, you know, sometimes devotees would ask him, what's my, who am I, where do I fit in, what's my rasa? And Prabhupada used to say, that will be revealed to you. So we worship Krishna in this form of great opulence and reverence, because it's the form of being humble. Of course, in Vrindavan, sometimes the opulences of Krishna Balaram there are, you know, wearing lots of manjaris and, you know, a little bit like a cowherd boy, but it's still very, very opulent in that sense. So this was the standard that Prabhupada established, that we should worship Krishna with great awe and veneration so that we will remain humble. He said this is for neophytes, but we understand that actually we're always neophytes, because Prabhupada himself always carried the deities. He always bowed down to them and worshiped them with great awe and reverence. So if we can constantly appreciate Krishna in a very reverential way, we feel confident, as it's explained here, that eventually we will get the blessing, get Krishna's palm on our head. Well, it's not that everybody is going to come back into active service, but again, it depends on the individual, and it depends on our ability to understand how to reach out and to perfect that system. It's not always going to work either, so it's not that we can say in a blanket way that if we do certain things that everybody is going to come back. Many people are unwilling to, even if all the right things are being done, so to speak. But maybe that same person at some point in his life or her life will realize that I've made certain vows and I want to do something with my life that will please my spiritual master. That happens to many devotees who have left active service, and they come to a point in their life, maybe it's just due to the aging process and the realization that, you know, I've got to evaluate myself now. I've only got a certain amount of time to live in this body. Therefore, I need to get back to the most essential thing that I had vowed to do or that I desired to do originally. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says in the 9th chapter, 30th verse, that Abhichet Sudaracharo in the purport, that sometimes people are victimized and they get distracted and are victims of Maya. And this is due to weakness, Prabhupada says. It's due, if one comes back and then still isn't able to really fully be Krishna conscious, that's due to being what he called a, quote, weak devotee, end quote. So there, Prabhupada recognized that there will be some people who will be weak devotees, maybe even throughout their whole life, and they may not come, quote, back, end quote, to following the vows strictly or to active devotional life. But I think Lokanath Maharaj has done a very extraordinarily good service and being the centennial minister to develop ways to do the things that ISKCON needs to do. And Madhavisa Prabhu is doing a very wonderful job in this, in re-establishing friendship. Because as we know, we come to Krishna consciousness in many ways, as I was saying, through associating with devotees. So that means friendship. And some devotees don't come back because they don't have any friends, or they don't feel they do, or maybe they don't. And if some proper method of establishing friendship can be universally implemented, then that's a very helpful thing. I know lots of devotees who don't want to go to the temple because they don't know anybody, and they feel embarrassed. They don't have any friends there, they say. So part of the way to do this is to start phoning them up or visiting them and in a very personal, individual, friendly way. So at least they know they have friends. And then people will feel secure if they have friendship. They can come back and their original Krishna consciousness can be awakened. Once Prabhupada said we shouldn't be surprised how many people stay with Krishna consciousness. We should leave Krishna consciousness. We should be surprised how many people stay in Krishna consciousness. He said that once when someone asked him, "Well, Prabhupada, I'm really disturbed. Somebody left." So Prabhupada said that. These were even his initiated disciples. So in one sense, it shouldn't be so surprising. And then there's also the system of having reunions like we had here and trying to bring people and glorifying devotees for their service, even though they may not still be active, but they should be glorified for what they have done. I think there's halls of fame and all such manner of institutions all over the world for people that were the, you know, did great service. That service needs to be remembered, and people need to be glorified for what they've done. So it's a hard question to answer. There are many ways, many, many ways in which it can be done individually and institutionally to some extent. One thing we can see with Prabhupada's movement is that he established the most efficient way to benedict the most people. So there's a kind of altruistic desire in a lot of devotees or people who come to Krishna consciousness. They want to do good in the world, benefit human society. So obviously it's reasonable to understand, to see that Prabhupada established an institution and a system whereby very large numbers of people could have access through prasadam, through harinam, through temples, through mass book distribution, through congregational development, where huge numbers, millions of people can have the opportunity to get direct access to this, to the method which is the most beneficial to human society. They can get direct access to service of Radha Krishna directly through the disciplic succession. So if a person's altruistically inclined, they can see that to join Prabhupada's movement will satisfy that desire to benefit human society. Of course, there are prices to pay. One has to follow four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds every day to really be effective. And if one can't do that, if one follows those who are rigidly following their vows, then they can be part of the movement and be very instrumental in assisting and also be fulfilled in that way. Is that a helpful answer? A little bit. So, any other comments? Okay, so thank you very much. We'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.